It was 1994 when my next guest got a phone call, and the man on the other line was Steve Jobs. They then worked together at Pixar. In fact, Steve recruited him to work at Pixar and turn it into the success it is today, a multi-billion dollar company. Lawrence Levy with us, former Silicon Valley attorney and business executive. His brand new book about this journey to Pixar and beyond, My Unlikely Journey with Steve Jobs to Make Entertainment History. Lawrence Levy on WILS. Lawrence, great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be on the show, Michael. Thanks. Yeah.
This is now in the book. You say that he called you, and he I think he saw you on the cover of a magazine, and he said, "I think I'm going to end up working with that guy." How did that come about?
Oh, it came about literally like that. I was sitting at my desk in 1994. My phone rang, and I pick it up, and I hear, "Hi, this is Steve Jobs. I saw your picture in a magazine a couple of years ago. I thought we'd work together someday, and I have this little company I'd like to tell you about." And that's how our adventure started.
And you say there were complex feelings about Steve Jobs at the time, right? Because he was kind of wasn't doing as well as he ended up doing at that moment, right?
Not at all. In fact, that moment was probably one of his lowest points, because he really had a series of commercial failures in Pixar and in Next, and when he had left Apple, and he really hadn't had a success for a very long time. And so people in Silicon Valley were sort of writing him off as sort of the boy wonder that didn't really go anywhere.
Now, what was your background at the time that he was so impressed that he called you and wanted you to work with him and for him?
You know, I had kind of a reputation for being really good at business strategy, both as a lawyer and a business person. I had been, you know, represented and worked for a number of startups trying to figure out how they could craft business strategies and break into new markets. And I think he knew that perhaps Pixar could use that kind of work.
And you were actually concerned, right, about joining the Pixar team initially.
Oh, very concerned. The first chapter in the book is called "Why Would You Want to Do That?" Because that's what everybody said to me. You know, why would you go to work for Steve Jobs, who hasn't had a hit in years, for a company that's largely been written off as a failure because it's been around for 10 years and has really nothing to show for it?
Talking to Lawrence Levy, his brand new book, To Pixar and Beyond, all about his journey with Steve Jobs to building this incredible company. And so you end up agreeing, you go to Pixar. And you said it was actually dreary, and there was this fear that kind of permeated the place. Well, what was that about?
Well, yeah, Pixar was located in Point Richmond. It was literally across the street from a Chevron oil refinery in kind of a dumpy, dark building. And it had been around for 10 years, and, you know, it had blown through $50 million worth of investment, and there was no viable business there. So the place was anything but inspiring when I first went to visit.
And you say there was actually a fear of Steve Jobs specifically, right?
There was. There was a sort of, he had never been an on-site CEO, and there was a lot of fear that he would kind of sort of break or damage the delicate culture that had been created there. And promises had been made for compensation and stock options that had never quite been fulfilled. So I found a much more sort of antagonistic relationship at the beginning than I imagined it would be.
Well, what's it like when you get into an argument with Steve Jobs? How does that work out?
Well, my experience was, you know, our whole process of building Pixar was one of almost sort of constant debate. And what I found is that he's very intense with his views, and he doesn't move easily off of his views, but he's really interested in getting to the right answer. And so my experience of that was very invigorating. He didn't sort of want to say something just because he thought it was the thing to do. He wanted to understand and get to the bottom of things, and that was a great process of collaboration.
He was known, though, for his temper also. Did you ever see that?
I didn't, actually. You know, our relationship was always collaborative. It was kind of one of the reasons I wrote the book was to show what I thought was sort of a different side of working with him.
Why do you think you never saw him explode?
You know, it's a good question. I can't even answer that. You know, we just had a good chemistry. We trusted each other. It doesn't mean to say we agreed on everything. Far from it. But we worked it all out in a sort of a atmosphere of respect and just got used to working on things together.
Did you now, when he did get infuriated, what was typically the reason for that?
You know, he it would be when he would just have such strong convictions about things. You know, when Steve said, you know, we need to, you know, go and get this from this deal. You know, we need $50 million here. Really what we should be going for is like 10 or something like that. He would get very dug in on his positions. He didn't move off of things easily. But if you hung in there with him and sort of reasoned the way through it, we just worked through everything.
Yeah. Now, he was a multimillionaire at that point already, right?
He was a multimillionaire from his original Apple, but it was the Pixar IPO, actually, and Pixar that really made him a billionaire, which was a big deal at the time.
When you work with someone like that, what was actually driving him from what you could tell?
Oh, you know, I think Steve was really driven by doing great work. I mean, I think maybe money and things like that kept score a little bit, but what kept him awake and got him up in the morning was to build great things, whether it was a Pixar or later on an Apple. Every single nuance of the iPod or every one of them, he would show off with the pride of someone, you know, sort of talking about their children. He loved to do great work.
And you talk about how even when you first met him, he was essentially an icon in Silicon Valley. Was he aware of his reputation and just the adulation people felt about him? And
you know, he probably was aware, but I don't think it drove him very much. I mean, he was just always trying to think of ways to improve the things that he was working on. He was very focused. You know, he didn't do a great broad variety of things. He had Pixar, then he had Apple, and that was his focus, was getting those things to work right.
Talking to Lawrence Levy here on WILS, the brand-new book, To Pixar and Beyond, My Unlikely Journey with Steve Jobs to Make Entertainment History. Obviously, Toy Story was where everything really turned. How did that work in terms of dealing with Disney and partnering up with Disney? And well, Pixar's part of Disney, right?
It is part of Disney now. Back then, it certainly wasn't. And it was a very difficult negotiation to work out terms with Disney that was going to be fair for Pixar. And I actually cover that in some detail in the book
as well. Do you feel like Pixar somehow got the short end of the deal there?
At the beginning, when I first went to Pixar, definitely. But then we renegotiated the deal, and I think we came up with something that worked for both Pixar and Disney. And that's when Pixar really began to take off.
Yeah. Now, what did everyone that was there initially, did everyone become wealthy, essentially?
Well, you know, like any other Silicon Valley company that makes it, the stock options are spread widely throughout the company, so everybody makes, you know, something from it at different degrees. But the company did very well, and so it was a good place to have been kind of at that time period.
So after Toy Story, was that when everything felt like we made it, we're going to make it, or...?
No, I wish after Toy Story was more like now we have an opportunity to make it because we had to do a lot of things, and this was where the adventure began in a way, and the story is really just an adventure of how we built it from that point because that just created the opportunity to build a company that could repeat that over and over again.
And when you're working, it was how often would you interact with Steve Jobs as you're working through the years on this?
Well, a lot. I mean, you know, sort of morning, noon, and night. It was like almost a constant dialogue. Start in the morning and, you know, before we went to bed at night, just learning. We had to learn the whole entertainment industry. Neither of us knew it. And so we really pieced it together.
Did you become personal friends where you'd spend time in each other's homes, that kind of thing?
We did. We were neighbors, and we lived close to each other, and so we would, you know, often see each other on the weekend, and you know, sort of be there for each other, and under different circumstances.
So when it's downtime, was he a different person? Did you guys do things just for fun sometimes, or?
Yeah, for downtime, Steve would love to go for a walk. He would enjoy to go for a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, he loved Palo Alto, which is where he lived, and just relaxing in the backyard and just kind of, you know, chilling out.
So he actually did have downtime? He wasn't always on the go?
He did have downtime. Yeah. I mean, he was on the go a lot, but when he wasn't, he kind of knew how to, you know, just rest, take a walk for a little bit.
Lawrence Levy on WILS. The book, To Pixar and Beyond, the brand new book about how long were you with Pixar? When did you leave and on what terms?
Well, a total of 12 years, really. I had 95, and then when the sale happened, Disney bought Pixar in 2006. That was really the end of the run.
And that was it. And that, now, from what I read in the book, it says that you then you left all that to study Eastern philosophy and meditation. What was that transition like?
you know, I sort of had this pulse in me. I long felt that I loved my career, but I saw sort of limitations in corporate life, and I wanted to understand what it would mean to have more balance, more harmony, find kind of a whole different dimension of of life in a way. And I went off to study it in the areas of Eastern philosophy and meditation, and it really took my life in a different direction. I now have a foundation called the Juniper Foundation that is all about studying those ideas and bringing them to contemporary life.
Really? Did you feel you were not in a balanced state when you were working at Pixar?
And no, I mean, it's not so much I loved what I did. It's just I wasn't sure I wanted to spend all the rest of my life doing it, and I had an option to explore something else, and I felt really fortunate to be able to go and have that exploration, and so I took the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, that was a big part of Steve Jobs' life, right? Meditation and so on, and the philosophical. And did he talk to you about that? Was that something that came up between?
We talked about it. You know, he understood the side of things, and he, of course, his aesthetic was very simplistic, very Zen-like in a way, and I think that he had been influenced by that earlier on in his life.
Yeah, could you tell anything about that in his demeanor, the meditation part?
Well, you know, I think it is more reflected in his work than anything else, that he understood how to channel those sort of notions, especially the aesthetic parts, into the work that he was doing.
Okay. Was he just smarter than other people, or how do you explain what made him such a special person?
You know, in some ways, maybe. You know, I think my experience both in Silicon Valley and Hollywood is that, you know, the people that are functioning at that level of performance, you know, they do have some extraordinary talents, and he was, you know, often the smartest guy in the room, but he also combined that with, you know, his sort of understanding of markets and business and aesthetics, and it all came together to produce some incredible products.
All right. What was your favorite Pixar movie?
Oh, I got to probably go with Finding Nemo on that, but I do. I sucker for the father-son story, but I love a lot of them.
Yeah. Did you back then when you started? Was the vision there from the get-go of what this was going to be?
No, not at all. Not at all. When I went into Pixar, nobody really thought of Pixar as an entertainment company. It was a graphics company, a technology company. So, no, I almost resisted it because it's a very difficult business, animated feature films. It's not a business you would sort of wisely go into. So I was there looking for options. But that was the only option, and it worked out, but we had to learn it.
But without Steve Jobs, would you have even considered going to Pixar?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. That's hard to say because, you know, the talent at the company, John Lasseter, Ed Catmull, others that were there, were pretty extraordinary. And, you know, it was a privilege to work with all of them. Yeah.
Lawrence Levy, former CFO at Pixar. The book, his brand new book, I mean, this really tells the story. It's To Pixar and Beyond, My Unlikely Journey with Steve Jobs to Make Entertainment History. And he certainly did, Lawrence Levy, right here on 1320 WILS. Lawrence, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. It was great.
Yep, enjoyed it.